One of my favorite authors, Max Lucado, writes of a certain king. He says, no man had more reason to be miserable than this one man, yet no man was more joyful. His first home was a palace. Servants were at his fingertips. The snap of his fingers changed the course of history. His name was known and loved. He had everything: wealth, power, respect. And then he had nothing. Students of this event still ponder it. Historians stumble as they attempt to explain it. How could a king lose everything in one instant? One moment he's royalty, and the next he's in poverty. His bed became, at best, a borrowed pallet. And usually it was just the hard earth. He never owned even the most basic mode of transportation and was dependent upon the handouts of others for his income. He was sometimes so hungry that he would eat raw grain or pick fruit off a tree. He knew what it was like to be rained on and cold. He knew what it meant to have no home. His palace grounds had been spotless, and now he was exposed to filth. He had never known disease, and now he was surrounded by illness. In his kingdom, he had been revered, and now he was ridiculed. His neighbors tried to lynch him. Some called him a lunatic. His family tried to confine him to their house. Those who didn't ridicule him tried to use him. They wanted favors. They wanted tricks. He was a novelty. They wanted to be seen with him. Until he was out of fashion. Then they wanted to kill him. He was accused of a crime he never committed. Witnesses were hired to lie. The jury was rigid. No lawyer was assigned to his defense. No judge swayed by politics handed down the death penalty. They killed him. He left as he came, penniless. He was buried in a borrowed grave, and his funeral was financed by compassionate friends. Though he once had everything, he died with nothing. He should have been miserable. Should have been bitter. He had every right to be a boiling pot of anger. But he wasn't. He was joyful. He was joyful. He had every right to be angry with those who were closest to him. But you know, in his poverty and in his humility, people followed him wherever he went. Children scampered after him. And the crowds bent in to listen. Now, crowds don't lean in to listen to the woeful. Crowds clamored to hear him. Why? Why? Because he had a joy that exploded out of him. And they wanted that. He was joyful. He was joyful when he was poor. He was joyful when he was abandoned. He was joyful when he was betrayed, and he was joyful when he hung on a tool of torture, and his hands and feet were pierced by Roman spikes. How is that possible? Jesus embodied a stubborn joy, a joy that refused to bend in the wind of hard times, a joy that held its ground against pain, a joy whose roots extended deep into the bedrock of eternity. This morning we talk about joy. Now, just to get you thinking, let me ask this. Are you a joyful person? Are you a joyful person? Now, note that I didn't ask, are you happy? See, they're two different things. Most of us instinctively recognize that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Yet, it's a challenge to put an exact definition on that difference. Lucky for us, I got a little help in my email this week. Joy is buying toys at a discount. Joy guaranteed. There it is. The Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary states that joy is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Does that sound right? I have a friend who sadly just cannot experience joy. For years, I've heard her say, over and over and over again, you know, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I get my college education paid off. I'll be happy when I meet Mr. Right. I'll be happy when I get that house out in the country. I'll be happy when I get a promotion. I'll be happy when. Unfortunately, she keeps waiting for joy to come to her instead of unwrapping what she already has. And this is the reason I wanted to light the joy candle on our Advent wreath this morning. Now, some of you who are Advent purists probably thought, oh, we're lighting the pink candle a week early. That is supposed to be the third week of Advent. It is not the second week of Advent. The third week of Advent is the joy week. This is not the joy week. But I wanted to illustrate to you that we shouldn't wait for joy. Joy is something that we currently have access to. Joy is our gift from God. And it's already waiting for us. Last week, I watched my neighbor putting up his Christmas lights. Oh, he was going all out. He had the music going, he had the Santa hat on, he had his daughter there visiting, helping him. He was really getting into it, to the point where I had to go outside. I mean, this was a show, and it was fabulous. I love looking out my window. It's right outside my kitchen window, and he's got all these lights strung across the gutters. It's just beautiful. It's festive, and you know, Bill's work outside, my neighbor's name is Bill, making his house look Christmassy brings joy to me, to the neighbors, to those who are driving by. And what's so interesting about this is only a few weeks ago, Bill's 53-year-old wife, Judy, passed away. And Bill told me, you know, we thought maybe we'd have 3 years, and we got 7. We traveled, we did what we wanted to do, and we didn't take one moment for granted. That's a gift. Had we not been dealt this hand, we may not have savored and lived life as perfectly as we did. It was a joy. Bill's joy is not about his happiness. Another young lady in our community has joy. Many of you know Isabel Denai. Many of you caroled for her last year, just as she came home on hospice. Isabel has more painful days than not. She finds joy in blogging online about how good her life is, how good God's grace is. She finds joy in the smallest things. She finds joy in being able to attend her French class online and see her friends. She finds joy in having a good day when she can go out to a movie with her friends. Now, Isabel is not happy about her diseased body, but she has joy, and a lot of it, and it's contagious. There's some here who work behind the scenes of this church to make it a shelter in a storm of wayward souls, a place where we can connect the disconnected and ignite hearts for Jesus Christ and transform lives that go out that and transform the world. And because of your work, someone is going to find a deep and meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ, the kind that produces real, lasting, life-transforming joy. And I know this because I have spoken with people here in this community who have not had that relationship and do now. And they have joy. And I know from spending time with you that the work you do to make this happen produces its own kind of joy. You know, I'm sorry, Target, and I'm sorry, Merriam-Webster, but you missed the boat on this one. Joy does not equal happiness. Joy does not equal stuff, and vice versa. So let's turn to a better source, John 15, 7 through 11. Just before going to the cross, Jesus took the opportunity to instruct his disciples one last time. Now, they've left the upper room, and they're on their way to Gethsemane. And in the context, Jesus says this, "Just as my Father loved me, I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. I've told you this so that you might have joy and that your joy might be complete." Complete joy. Now, the key verse in this passage for us today is verse 11. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So he told them what? He told them two things: obey and remain. Right? Obey and remain. And those are the two commandments that Jesus gives in this verse so that we might have joy. So the first command is obedience. Obey, right? Obedience results in joy. Now, sometimes we believe the opposite. Sometimes, and I think for a lot of folks who have just had it with church or don't want anything to do with church, they think that God gives us this list of things not to do, God's big list of things not to do, because God wouldn't want us to have fun. So we have this big list to limit our freedom and to make us miserable. But the opposite is really true. See, obedience to God is the path to joy. Not only because obeying the things we're not supposed to do saves us pain and hurt, but also because in doing all of the things we're supposed to do, we find significant purpose in life. Now, the second command is to remain in my love, remain. Henry Nouwen says, joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved. And that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, depression, war, even death, cannot take that love away. You and I have known that unconditional love of Jesus at moments in the past. Jesus commands to us that we remain in that love, to never get sidetracked, to never get persuaded otherwise, to never lose sight of the eternal truth of Christmas. The truth of Christmas is that Emmanuel is with us. Emmanuel means God with us. That's what joy is, to know that in our hearts, that God is with us. When my mom passed away 3 Christmases ago, a former colleague of mine who's now retired hugged me and whispered, "Isn't it wonderful that Jesus is real?" I've never heard anyone say that at a funeral. But his words, I mean, obviously still echo with me. And those words have calmed my weary soul and have calmed me in distress more than once. And I remember Pastor Don in that moment and his kind words. Yes, that's joy. What gifts are in your life that you have yet to unwrap? You may have noticed, of course, that we are out of sync with our Advent wreath. And that may cause a little bit of anxiety. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay to have joy when things aren't comfortable. It's okay. Today I tell you not to postpone joy. Joy can happen even when things aren't right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus is welcoming us to remain close in his arms, to remain always in the midst of the fact that we are loved perfectly, unconditionally, truly, and not by virtue of anything that we have done or failed to do, but solely by the grace of God. And as we remember this, we will know joy. You can know joy today. You can know that joy because it's already yours. It's already your gift. Joy is not about feeling or circumstance or economics. Rather, joy is about being part of something really incredible. Really incredible. The kingdom of God. Oh, you can't buy that on a shelf. It's about being part of something eternal, being part of a people who meet here every week. and ever desire to widen the circle of this family of faith. It's about worshiping and seeking God together. It's about being part of a mission to share the incredible good news to everyone we know, the good news of salvation with a broken and diseased world. My dear ones, don't wait to unwrap joy. Amen.